Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You'll remember in our last time together studying the book of Mark that we highlighted from verses 1 through 13, three features of worthless worship. The Lord Jesus Christ is constantly correcting the false teachings of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were wolves in sheep's clothing. They were servants of the devil, servants of the wicked one, though they thought that they were of God. The Pharisees were leading others astray by their false message. And the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees time after time after time in his earthly ministry. Jesus called the Pharisees snakes. He called the Pharisees hypocrites. He called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. He said that they were dead. He said that they were the blind leading the blind. And the Lord Jesus here is trying to awaken the Pharisees yet again to the reality of the truth of the gospel. We consider that this morning as we looked at the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus spoke that parable directly to the hearts of the Pharisees, those who trusted in themselves, those who were seeking after things, those who were covetous, desiring to take advantage of men, all the while saying that they were of God. And from verses 1 through 13 in chapter 7, we considered first that worthless worship magnifies tradition over truth. Jesus called out the holding forth of the Pharisees' tradition. The Pharisees were more concerned with the tradition of the elders than they were the truth of God's word. And this was the dead, lifeless worship or religion of the Pharisees. We also noted that worthless worship focuses on the external more than the internal. The Pharisees were more concerned about the washing of pots and cups rather than their own heart. They were more concerned about keeping the regulations of the Sabbath rather than walking in a pure and holy manner before God. Their focus was on rules rather than relationship with Jesus Christ. Then we considered that worthless worship delights in finding faults in others rather than examining self. The Pharisees were the religious police officers constantly holding their badge to the Lord Jesus Christ and condemning him of committing crimes. The Pharisees were those who were pulling specks out of the eyes of others when there was a beam sticking out of their own eye. Their religion was worthless. It was vain. No life, no hope, no peace, all external, anti-God, though they thought they were of God. And so Jesus continues correcting the false theology of the Pharisees. And correcting the false theology of the Pharisees, Jesus is brick by brick setting up the principles or truths of the gospel. He is preaching this to the hearts of the Pharisees, and he's preaching it to those beyond the Pharisees who will hear the truth, because he knows that there are sheep who will be exposed to the false message if they don't hear the true message. So see Jesus' importance regarding this message. He says, "Hearken," verse 14, "hearken, listen unto me, every one of you, and understand what I am about to tell you is very important. It is vital for your soul. It is truth that can free you from the bondage of Satan. It is truth that will bring you everlasting light." And what does Jesus say? Well, in verses 15 and 16, Jesus says, in so many words, spiritual defilement comes from within, not without. There was controversy in Jesus' day regarding the true source of defilement. The Jewish dietary laws were given by God in the Old Testament, and the Pharisees took those laws and made them ultra spiritual. The Pharisees took the laws of Moses regarding what to eat and what not to eat and magnified them more than what God wanted. The Pharisees preached a message of works. In other words, they said, you are evil if you eat certain meats, and you are pure if you do not eat certain meats. You are sinful if you eat pork, and you are pure if you abstain from that pulled pork sandwich. Their message of salvation was a message of works. Adhere to ritual observations, dietary laws, if you want to be saved. It did not end here. Later they would say, one has to be circumcised in order to go to heaven. Acts chapter 15, I believe. That's what was going around. You have to keep the Sabbath in order to be right with God. But what Jesus is teaching us here is that man's digestive organs are not moral agents. The stomach is not a moral agent. The heart is the moral agent. And out of the heart comes all things. So it's not what you eat that makes you evil. It's what's inside of your heart that makes you evil. Sin from Adam. In Adam all die. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We possess the nature of Adam. Spiritual defilement comes from within, not without. And in so many words, Jesus then turns and is saying that the heart of man is evil and not good. Verses 15 and 16, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Again, see the importance. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You must understand the truth about your heart if you are to understand the truth about why Christ came. And when he was entered into the house from the people, he separated from the people and those affected by the Pharisees, and his disciples asked concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Now here he's going to give us exactly what he is saying. Verse 21, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within the heart and defile the man. Now, as we consider Jesus' words, we ask, is this some new truth that the disciples are hearing? The depravity of man, the wickedness of man's heart, is this something that the disciples would have been surprised by? No, that's why Jesus says, Why don't you understand these things? How is it that you are not grasping this truth? It has been preached for centuries. And Jesus is not the first person to highlight the truth of man's evil heart. It's been echoed throughout the history of the world. Let's search this out, beginning with Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And the Bible says, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See the emphasis. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 8:21, The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Job 15:16, Man is abominable and filthy and drinks down sin like water. David writes, Psalm 53, The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Why don't they do good? Because their hearts are evil. Old Testament. They would have known the Psalms. They would have known the history of Moses in Genesis. They would have known Isaiah 64:6. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And they would have known Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus is saying that the heart of man is evil, not good. This is contrary to what the world tells us, right? You've heard people say, well, he or she, they have a really good heart. They are really good-natured people. It's the way they've always been, and they will always be. Well, the Bible says contrary to that. Even the most kind still have a heart of sin. Now let's recall the various accounts of Scripture and see how sinful men's hearts are. So we see the declaration that the heart is sinful. Now let's go beyond the declaration and look at the portraits of man's evil hearts. Remember Genesis chapter 4. Cain killed his own brother Abel. For what? Because Abel was righteous. There was no feud that Abel started with Cain. Cain killed his own brother because he hated the fact that he was a righteous man. And what does the Bible tell us here in Mark chapter 7? Out of the heart of man proceeds murders. Genesis 11, after the flood, the inhabitants of the world sought to build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven to make a name for themselves. Out of the heart of man proceeds pride and foolishness. Genesis 27, Jacob deceives his own father and steals his brother Esau's birthright. Out of the heart of man proceeds covetousness and thefts. We go on in the later parts of Genesis, Joseph's older brothers hating Joseph, desiring to kill him. They sell him to slave owners. They lie to their father, saying some wild beast has killed Joseph. Out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, wickedness, and evil eye. Jacob's son, Judah, seeks after sexual pleasure from a harlot. Out of the heart of man proceeds fornications. Potiphar's wife tempts Joseph to lie with her, and when Joseph refuses, she uses her power to falsely accuse Joseph of doing something he did not do. What is that? That's a sinful heart. Out of the heart of man proceeds adulteries and deceit. Now, I've only mentioned some instances from Genesis, and we've covered most of the list here in Mark chapter 7. This is only the first book of the Bible. We could spend all night providing instances in which the Israelites groaned and complained and murmured against the goodness of the Lord. We could speak of their sinful desire to worship a lifeless golden calf. We could speak about David and his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba and his call to have Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed. We could talk about David's son Amnon, who raped his half-sister Tamar. We could speak about Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, lusting after women and worshiping false gods. We could talk about Judas, loving money. Judas, seeing God in the flesh, hearing Jesus Christ the Creator, yet loving money and denying Christ. All these things teaching us the heart of man is evil, not good. Now, for sake of argument, let me continue. We've read a few passages regarding what God says about man's heart. We've called to mind various instances in the Bible through which man's sinful hearts have led to sinful actions. Now, let's consider evidences that we are confronted with daily that prove man is evil and not good. Do you realize you can prove to others that man is evil and not good even by not using the Bible? Well, how do you do that? You ask others this. When you go to the bank, what do you find? Well, you find tellers behind a bulletproof glass. You find security cameras covering every square inch of the building. When you go to deposit a check or withdraw money out of your account, what do you have to do? You have to enter your security PIN number and you have to sign your checks. Why do you have to jump through all these hoops? Why do you have to look at the teller through bulletproof glass? Because the heart of man is evil. Out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, thefts, and covetousness. When you travel on a plane and go through the airport, what must you do? You must show your ID. You must go through security. You must put your bags through the security scanner. Why all the trouble? Because the heart of man is evil, not good. When you go to a sports game or an amusement park, after your ticket is scanned, you are directed to walk through a metal detector. When you go to the store and buy a Sharpie, permanent marker, or spray paint, sometimes you have to give your ID to make sure you're over 18 years of age. Why? Because young ones will take permanent markers and spray paint and get high from it. Schools, hospitals, and churches are performing active shooter drills more and more. Why? Because out of the heart of man proceeds murders, wickedness, and an evil eye. Courthouses, judges, jurors, police officers, laws, regulations, security tags on clothing, badges to get into work, tasers, mace, identity theft programs, antivirus programs on computers, constantly confirming your social security number with businesses, all reveal that man's heart is filled with evil. We're so used to it that we don't even think about it. You can't go throughout a day without being exposed to something that reveals the fact that man is not good. If man was good, then take all these things away. What, don't people trust people anymore or what? We could go into the fact of specifics in our nation regarding adulteries and fornications, in our world regarding adulteries and fornications. It's estimated that 64% of young people ages 13 to 24 actively seek out pornography every week. It is estimated that the porn industry generates billions of dollars every year. The heart of man is evil. Consider that which entertains us. What do the blockbuster hit movies consist of? Do they not consist of blasphemies, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, and covetousness? What do the popular television shows consist of? Do they not consist of nudity, murders, adulteries, fornications, wickedness, and deceit? What about the Billboard Top 100 songs? The rap and the hip-hop and the country and rock and roll songs. What is it in those songs? Cursing and sensuality, drunkenness, materialism, drugs, partying, rebellion, eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we die. Popular video games, kill, steal, run from the police, drive over pedestrians, shoot zombies, get rich, do whatever you want. When we turn on the news, what are we flooded with? We're flooded with stories of anger, hatred, division, murder, abuse, rape, discontentment, spying, lying, stealing, bribing, resisting authority, and marital unfaithfulness. We are bombarded with the truth that man is not good but evil. The Bible tells us the condition of man's condition. The Bible shows us the condition of man's condition, and the world verifies what Jesus says regarding the heart is true. And yet, most men will proclaim everyone their own goodness. Most men do not see themselves as evil, but good. Most men see themselves deserving of heaven. Like the Pharisees, the world is great at justifying their sinfulness. They are good at providing excuses as to why they are not sinful. And the excuses are given. Well, I have ADD, and that's why I punch people in the face. I have a chemical imbalance, that's why I run from the police. I had a rough background. I grew up in a divorced home. I grew up in poverty. I was abused. And so that's why I give way to stealing and lying and cheating and doing wrong to others. It's my personality to do wrong. The devil made me do it. All these excuses except for man looking into his own heart and seeing that his heart is desperately wicked. The world responds to personal sin like the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. If you want to turn there, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. This man is self-deceived. This man is full of himself. Come on, let's just take the last, verse 19. You perfectly honored your father and mother in every way growing up, never failing. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. This rich young ruler was unwilling to confess that his heart was sinful and that he has fallen from the standard of God. He was pretty quick to pat himself on the back. I'm a good man. I don't have any sin problem. And Jesus, knowing his heart, knowing his idolatry towards money, says, sell everything you have then and come follow me. And that exposes his heart. He loves his money more than Christ. He wants to gain the whole world and lose his own soul. That's his sin. He is not seeking first the kingdom of God. He is seeking first his kingdom and his pleasure and his glory. So we see in Mark 7, spiritual defilement comes from within, not without. We see also that the heart of man is evil and not good. And this then leads us to a truth that is not expressed, but is certainly implied. And the truth is this: salvation then is of the Lord and not men. Going back to the rich young ruler, the disciples, after this rich young ruler left, grieved, they looked about and said to Jesus, well, who can go to heaven? And Jesus says, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Man cannot cleanse or change his own heart. Man cannot give himself eternal life. Man in his sin cannot understand God's word. He is spiritually discerned. He that is of God heareth God's word. Jesus says, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Man in his sin is spiritually discerned. The things of the Spirit are foolishness unto him. He cannot know the things of the Spirit. Man in his sin is under a curse. He is at enmity with God. He's condemned. He has no hope. He's alienated from the life of God through ignorance. And we ask then, what hope is there for man's evil heart? The only hope is the great physician, Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. Jesus came to take away sin. Jesus came to do spiritual surgery as the great physician. And what's the spiritual surgery? Well, we have the illustration from Ezekiel chapter 36 regarding the new covenant. Ezekiel says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. When was the last time you heard of a patient do his own open heart surgery? Never. The blind man cannot make himself see. The leper cannot make himself whole. The lame man cannot make himself walk. The dead man cannot give himself life. And we cannot wash away our own sins. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Ye must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born from God. It was not your will or your power that brought you into this world. And it's not your will and it's not your power that will bring you into the world to come. It must be of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, because they're powerless in and of themselves. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. This is salvation. Salvation is a resurrection. As Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. So Jesus says to those who are dead in trespasses and sins, give life. Come forth. Be born again. Let there be light. And there's light. Now, Jesus' teaching is a direct hit toward the Pharisee. I mean, he's taken back the bow, he's got his arrow, and he's letting it go. Why? The Pharisees were those striving to obey the law. They were those keeping the Sabbath, praying and fasting. The Pharisees were those holding on to their religious affiliation. And Jesus is saying, Pharisees, your heart is evil, and you need a physician. You cannot save yourself. And Jesus is saying, I came to save men. Jesus says elsewhere, Jesus did not come to save the righteous. He came for sinners, those with evil hearts. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How is it so hard for us to understand that we fall short of the glory of God and we sin in thought, in word, and in deed? We have only gone through a short list, and we could pull out more lists, and we could talk about our lack of worship and our lack of love for God. We could name other particular sins and sins of commission and sins of omission, all pointing to the fact that we are thoroughly evil. Now, this doesn't mean that we are as evil that we can be, but it does mean that we are evil in the sight of a holy God, and we must be cleansed. And Naaman, that great leader in the Old Testament, the one with leprosy, was commanded to go to the Jordan River and dip himself 7 times. And when he did that, he came out clean. And so the sinner is commanded to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has the power to wash away sins. And when those come to Christ who know themselves to be sinners, they are spotless. They are clean morally. And that's why Isaiah says, Isaiah 1, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What defiles? It's not that which we wear. It's not that which we eat. Defilement is in our heart. And our heart needs to be changed. Or our nature needs to be changed. And when our nature is changed, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Christian, though you have been washed, though you have been cleansed, though you have been accepted in the Beloved, and that your heart has been given new affections and new loves, there's still a battle, isn't there? There's still a fight. Romans chapter 7. Paul says, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. We still carry around this flesh. And out of the heart still proceeds sinful things. So we must be aware of it. And being aware of it, we must fight against these sinful things. We must not walk according to the old nature. Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Put on the new man. Put off the old man. Don't walk as Gentiles walk. Walk in the pathway of righteousness. So, believer, we would hope, we would wish that we could be done with sin at the moment of salvation, but it is a good fight of faith until the day of our redemption, to the day we see Christ. So keep fighting and understand that we ought to keep our hearts with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. If we grow lax in guarding our hearts, the devil will get the best of us. If we grow lax in guarding our hearts, we will fall like David, and we will fall like Solomon, and we will fall like Judah and many other good men in the Scripture. So we say this to say the heart of all evil is the evil of our hearts. The heart of all problems is the problem of the heart. Where is our heart tonight? Is it in Christ? Has it been washed? Has it been clean? Have we been born again? And if not, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And where are our hearts, Christian? On the things of this life, on the movies and the music and the entertainments of evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and covetous wickedness? No. God doesn't want our hearts there. He wants our hearts in His Word. He wants our hearts fixed upon Him.